Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our discussion about whether the residents and staff of care centres for the elderly have been neglected in COVID-19 vaccine rollout nationwide. We speak now to Professor Dr. Tan Mopin. She is a consultant geriatrician at University Malaya Medical and Specialist Centre. Dr. Tan, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Now, I'm wondering whether you could begin with that broad question. Whether you think the elderly population, particularly in care homes and their caretakers, have been a blind spot in the COVID-19 management pandemic. We've heard now that there's going to be some movement in this area, some urgency in vaccinating the elderly in care homes. But why the delay? Why the lag? What do you think?
Okay, there are several questions there. So blind spot-wise, internationally, I would agree that care homes, nursing homes have been a blind spot when it comes to management of COVID-19. But a lot of international countries, because of the really bad publicity that they had with all the mortality that was happening in their care homes, have actually made amends by actually prioritizing care home residents for vaccination. But that was after a really, really bad death toll. Now, for Malaysia, it's kind of become the other way around, because we actually did rather well when it came to protecting our older people in care homes in the first two waves. Even the third wave, we didn't do too badly. And so we didn't see many care home deaths, thank goodness. We managed to protect our care homes very well by actually mandating that all people discharged to care homes from hospitals were being swabbed, and our care homes were being locked down very early. But now, because of this relative success, we've almost become complacent, and we've been rather slow, in fact, a little bit painfully slow, in vaccinating care home residents. And we're now in the middle of our second wave, and very few of our care home residents have been vaccinated. In fact, we've actually gone for community dwelling older people and touched very few of our care homes so far. So we really need to speed up this effort, because now we can see that there's a big wave coming and there's a lot of deaths, and I don't think that our care homes can hold up much longer.
Dr. Tan, could I ask you about this, the strategy that we, you know, that was enacted with the vaccination program, which was to put older folk in phase two, right? And that was, and they would have gotten either the Pfizer or the Sinovac vaccine. And then now they have this carve out with AstraZeneca. But now we're being told that the older folks are going to be recipients of AstraZeneca you know, as part of that. Now, what do you make of this, considering the policies that have been instituted in other countries around AstraZeneca and the risk attendant there?
Yes, the policies have really surrounded Europe. They're not really very good place. They're not really a very good place to follow when it comes to vaccine policies, because they've really made a bit of a mess of it. So what really we should always stick to is the fact that there is a shortage of vaccines worldwide, and the vaccine that we have is the best vaccine. So whatever you're being offered, take it. And for older people, it's a special bonus, because actually AstraZeneca is, for older people, they're going to get the most benefit with risk-benefit ratios. So the risk of them getting blood clots are far lower than that of younger people, but they will actually enjoy far greater benefits in terms of reduction in mortality or death and hospitalization. So really, AstraZeneca is the right choice because it's available.
Right. Dr. Tan, have you seen, pickup in terms of vaccination signups, in terms of the vaccination, the inoculation process itself? Have the elderly population in Malaysia been eager to get vaccinated?
Well, I think it's a bit mixed. There's definitely a clear group who wants the vaccine and wanted ASAP and understands the benefit of the vaccine. But from the feedback that I've been getting from my patients, and also from what I've been reading in the press, it looks like there is actually the sign-up rate for our older people is actually lower than we would like it to be. But that might not necessarily really reflect entirely on vaccine hesitancy, because what it might be is that a lot of older people have difficulty signing up. But still, even when I see them in clinics, some of them are worried about vaccine safety. And this, the problem is that whatever information that we're sending out there are not getting to these older people. The information they are getting is primarily from all this scaremongering that's been happening. And so we really need to address the way we actually disseminate information, because it's not really getting to a particular group of older people.
Dr. Tan, can we address the difference between older folk who live at home and with their families and those who are residents, who are institutionalized, and what you understand to be the landscape of older folk in these institutions, their capacity to both explain the risks, persuade residents to get this, or even their ability to make those kinds of choices? How do we understand what's actually happening in the care homes where older folk who are vulnerable are?
Yes, that's right. So about 1% of our Malaysian older population lives in care homes. So it's a very small number, but disproportionately about 7% of our hospital population actually come from care homes. It's because they tend to be frailer, and we see a lot of more people with memory problems, and most care home residents need some sort of help, otherwise they will not need to be in a care home. So generally, some of them make decisions, some of them need decisions made for them, but across the board, a majority of them will find it very difficult to go to a vaccine center to actually be vaccinated. Now, that's totally different story when it comes to older people in the community. And the message that's been sent out by our government is that they're labeling these people as dependents, and they're asking their adult children to actually register for them on the My Sejahtera app as a dependent, because a lot of our older people are not savvy with using the My Sejahtera app. So that is actually a very off-putting approach, because majority of our older people actually still make their own decisions, and they're mortified to be actually considered dependent because they don't really want to trouble their children. And really, they would rather not have the vaccine than having to be tagged under their own children's My Sejahtera app. So the approach needs to be readdressed. Older people make their own decisions, and there needs to be ways where they sign up for themselves.
Well, can you elaborate a little bit on that, Dr. Tan? What would you like to see changed in the immediate term? What would you like to see improved? Particularly, I'm wondering whether the approach to vaccinating the elderly should be completely different to that of the general population.
We believe that whatever approach has been taken at the moment actually favours people who are very used to using the smartphone technology, and also potentially discriminates against other vulnerable groups such as the Orang Asli and also the rural areas. So when you change the tactics, it will benefit more than just older people. It will benefit people who are disabled and also the rural areas and other vulnerable groups. So we actually think that they should actually engage community leaders and non-governmental organizations to actually convince these older people that they need the vaccines, as well as help them to actually get registered. So we do have quite good community outreach groups that at the moment feel a little bit redundant because they're not being allowed to go out. They are told that they have to, obey the MCO, and they're not really engaged in any way. I know we don't want them to go out physically, but they are still able to actually contact older people through the very old-fashioned telephone that was invented over 100 years ago. And all older people actually have access to the telephone. Yeah, so those sort of technology can be engaged, yes.
Yeah, there's also many other problems, and that's got to do with language, isn't it? I mean, if the My Sejahtera app comes in English and Malay, there are many old people in older generations who do not speak or use that language or have a facility with that language. They might be speaking Chinese dialects, or they might be speaking Tamil, or they might be speaking ASEAN languages, or, Dusun or Kadazan, whatever it is. How complex do we need How do we deal with this complexity? I know governments are very difficult. They like one size fits all type of solutions. What would you suggest to them?
Well, engage community leaders, localize solutions, work with people who are used to working with these people, and they know how to get in touch with these people. Getting everyone to register first for the vaccine, when actually, I know the Pfizer vaccine had to have a cold chain, but it didn't really need to be complicated to this extent. Nowadays, we have vaccines that don't really need such ultra cold temperatures, and actually having vaccination centers that people can just drop into will actually really help. And we've had this kind of efforts before with other things. We can definitely do it for vaccines.
Will GPs help? Will engaging with general, very quickly, will the engagement of GPs help with trust and proximity to vaccines?
Yes, definitely, because a lot of older people do go to private GPs, and the efforts in engaging them has been rather slow for reasons that we are not clear with. And still, after GPs have been named as a potential vaccine deliverer, there's still this need to use the My Sejahtera app to register and for the GPs to wait to be given the numbers to be called to come in for the vaccine. I think My Sejahtera has its purposes, I agree, but there needs to be better ways of doing the vaccination than going through a particular smartphone app.
Right. Dr. Tan, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time. Thank you. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, a quick reminder that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines on astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.